Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about getting a deal on craft beer.
Yeah, I am glad that we were talking about this one, man. Beer is a key part of what we do. So I think it's about time that we dedicate an entire episode to craft beer.
I agree. So most episodes, you don't have to be a craft beer aficionado to enjoy this podcast. And most episodes, we'll be talking about money in some way, form, or fashion. And today's no different. But today, specifically, we're talking about how to save money when buying craft beer. But first, Matt, we also love biking. And I saw this article in our local newspaper, and I just had to bring it up. I figured we had to discuss. As people learned in episode one, I bike to work. Pretty frequently on my electric bike. And this guy in Atlanta.
Yeah, I read it. Yeah. I actually checked my email and I read the article you sent me. So
he's giving us a bad rap, man. Us electric bike riders. Not cool.
Oh, I thought you were going to take his side where you think his bike passes as an e-bike.
No. And okay. We will post a link to the story on the show notes so you can see the picture of this dude on this ride. I don't know what else to call it. Ride.
Yeah.
But this is...
Share the story then with him.
So basically this guy, Carl, gets pulled over and he doesn't have a driver's license. He doesn't think he needs one because he's on his quote unquote electric bike. But if you look at a picture of it, it looks exactly like a moped.
It's a scooter.
And essentially they sell this type of moped with pedals. So it's a moped. It's an electric moped and they sell it with pedals and you can take the pedals on or off. And he had the pedals off and he was like literally just
using the
throttle.
Which
makes it a scooter. And even with the pedals on,
Do they work? Can you actually pedal it and it'll push you forward?
I don't know. I'd be surprised based on the look of it, but yeah. Maybe.
So as a kid growing up, like all the guys, it was like the cool thing to do. But before you got your driver's license, like that's what you kind of rode around the neighborhood, like these little mopeds, little 50cc, engine mopeds.
Totally.
And that's exactly what it looks like. I mean, the dude's he's wearing a bike helmet, if you notice.
He is wearing a bike helmet. You're right.
He's wearing a bike helmet, but I mean, it's just straight up a little scooter. And it said, I read the article and it said that they're taking it to court because they're trying to, it's like a huge case. They're like, oh, we're going to set the precedent.
A landmark electric bike case.
Well,
it's going all the way to the Supreme Court.
He said that their argument was that because it doesn't have a combustion engine, meaning that because it has an electric motor, it's not a real vehicle.
Except they make Teslas.
Yeah, exactly. And Leafs and all these other electric cars.
Electric motorcycles that go
like 1,000 miles per hour.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't think that's going to stand up.
That's a terrible argument.
At all. And I think they're just trying to make a big stink of it.
But. Yep. So this guy, Carl, we'll post a link to the story. You be the judge. We'd love to hear your comments on it.
You used to have a scooter.
I used to have a 49cc scooter that
just skirting it right under under the law of.
that's the legal.
50, you have to have it registered and pay insurance and
that's right. So that's the legal limit in most states. And my moped would go about 45 miles per hour.
That's solid.
And I'd whip around town. And I mean, how do you think I got my wife, dude? Pulling up on that baby. That's makes the ladies holla.
I mean, and you get good gas mileage. I bet you got. I mean, on a motorcycle, most motorcycles, you can get close to like 80 miles per gallon.
Yeah, that's
70, 80 miles per gallon,
That's what I was getting on the scooter around town, about 70 or 80. And I lived within 2 to 3 miles. This was before electric bikes were really,
They're probably around, but they're weren't at all what they were today.
Yeah, they weren't mainstream. Nobody was talking about them. I didn't know a thing about electric bikes at that point. And a scooter kind of fell into my lap for pretty cheap. And I zipped around town a bunch on that. And I got to say, it was so much fun. The electric bike kind of gives me that wind blowing through my hair feel that I used to get on the moped.
Yeah.
So I get that from it. But
yeah. You get on the electric bike and you just kind of go. Yeah. When we put your bike together that first time and we both kind of hopped on there together.
That's right.
Man, it was a sight to behold. You'd be riding on your electric bike. But I totally agree. So I used to have a motorcycle. It wasn't 49cc. It was a 550. So it was a 76 Honda CB 550. And
which, by the way, those are beautiful machines.
Pretty sweet.
That's my dream. Someday I want to have one of those. Yeah, and honestly,
a lot of fun.
It's not really that expensive financially. It's more maritally expensive.
Well, yeah, with kids, man. I mean, yeah. I know a lot. There's plenty of people that have motorcycles and have kids, but it's just something that's not as high on my priority list right now. I'd rather have a nicer beer. Have a lot of nicer beers,
speaking
right?
Speaking of which, we'll get to how to save money on craft beer in just seconds. But as always, we drink a beer on the show. And today's beer is Lindeman's Oud Creek Lambic Ale, Cuvée René. A creek is a cherry sour. Mm-hmm. And Lindeman's, this is our first beer, Matt, that we're drinking that's like from outside the United States.
Yeah, we've been sticking local.
Yeah.
As in the United States local.
So now we're jumping across the pond and cracking this cherry sour lambic. And these lambics, they're spontaneously fermented. Mm-hmm. And so, which means that literally the beer sits out in the open and the wild yeast of the air interact with it. And then they put it into barrels to essentially age for what could be years, and usually is years. Mm-hmm. And so this beer probably took 2 years to make. And the oud in front of this usually just means old. And so this essentially is aged longer. And
so it translates literally as old cherry.
Yeah.
This is an old cherry lambic beer.
And the longer it's aged, the more rich and deep the flavors usually become. Mm-hmm. So let's crack it.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much did you pick this bottle up for?
This is $11. Split two ways. Not too bad.
That was eventful. I don't know if you caught that, folks, but it immediately started bubbling over because it was a little shook up. And the technique I went with was put my mouth directly on the bottle to not waste any of this precious beer. So,
all right, well, I'll get something to clean that up and then we'll continue.
If anything, man, this feels a little more appropriate. It just smells like beer everywhere now, and I feel like we're doing it right.
Spill it all over the table. You get that smell in the whole room, you know?
It's everywhere.
But the smell, intoxicating, yeah. Right?
Pours a deep, deep red. I mean, unless you're holding up to the light, you know, I mean, it's almost black. Like
there's tons of cherries in it.
Yeah, yeah. In general, when you're at the package store looking at these different beers, you're going to see a lot of Oud Creeks. It's a style. It's like IPA.
Yeah.
It's not like a trademark name per se.
Like almost everybody makes an IPA now. And like a ton of these Belgian brewers make Oud Creeks and make different kinds of creeks.
Yep.
And that's just literally like a cherry sour beer. And they're all going to taste a little bit different. So you might want to try some from a bunch of different breweries and figure out which one you're into. I like a lot of them.
Yeah. So it's sort of like whiskey. So bourbon, right? In order to be considered a bourbon, it's a whiskey that's made in Kentucky. Well, is it specifically Bourbon County?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
And then so there's Belgian beers, but then lambics are a type of Belgian beer, but not all Belgian beers are lambics.
And they're typically brewed in this one small region of Belgium. It's the Seine River Valley, and that's like...
Sounds so romantic.
And yeah, well, that's where you get some of like literally the best beer in the world. Some of these brewers have been brewing lambics there for generations upon generations. And so they've really kind of perfected a style. And the Belgian beer scene is so, so different than the US beer scene. You know, Belgium and the United States are probably the two best countries for beer. But the United States, we kind of have that like rebel status. We're making like these crazy big beers in different styles, like triple IPAs and like barrel aged stouts. And this lambic style has been around for forever. Mm-hmm. And people in the United States over the last 10, 15 years were really kind of starting to develop an appreciation for what some of these amazing beers that the Belgians have been producing for ages.
I think that folks are, brewers especially, are realizing too how difficult it is to do what it is that they do in Belgium, right? And we talked about this a little bit early on, how with lambics are characterized specifically by the wild yeasts and bacteria even too in the air that ferment the beer. Well, in the US or in most any other country where you're making beer, you have a very precise yeast strain and it's measured to be exact that goes into the beer to behave exactly like you want it to create the beer that you want. That's why these lambics are basically impossible to kind of replicate, because they don't know how much yeast in the different stuff that's in the air that's fermenting the beer, and it characterizes it very specifically to that region. So it's almost impossible to reproduce.
Yeah. And again, when you're using wild yeast that's roaming around and interacting with the beer, when you're not, you know, measuring it out yourself in a brewing process, How can you replicate that?
Yeah, no, you don't.
You can't. And so they call it, brewers call it the terroir, yeah, right? So you're getting that, you're getting, and they say that the terroir of the Seine Valley is different than anywhere else. And so that makes this unique. Like, you can't make a lambic anywhere else because the terroir there is specific and different. And so that's kind of, they're known for this specific kind of beer. So.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, brother.
Smells amazing.
Like, to think that all that went into it, what we just said, absolute perfection. That is an amazing beer. Mm. It's got that natural cherry sweetness.
So there's a Lindeman's Oud Creek, but this is specifically Lindeman's Oud Creek Cuvée René, which I'm pretty sure I remember looking this up, and there isn't additional sugars added to this one. So in general, I think this one tends to be a little more tart and a little more puckery than just your the standard Oud Creek.
Yeah, and
is that right?
And especially with the Lindeman's, because Lindeman's is kind of known for adding some syrups and sugars, I think, or at least that's what it tastes like to me on their normal on some of their normal lambics, and so they're kind of known as more of like a mass producer. But this particular beer,
it's like a brewer's choice, right?
Yeah, this is like one of their better beers, and it's only a couple dollars more than some of those that I think are just kind of meh. And so, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of most of the basic line of Lindeman's, but this one in particular is super tasty and definitely worth picking up if you find it at your local bottle shop.
In general, this drinks, it's pretty carbonated. If you didn't pick that up from popping that cork and having it go everywhere, but it's nice and sour.
I think some of the beers we've had on the show that are sours haven't been quite as tart. This one's got a real nice tartness to it.
And it's got more of that funky sort of flavor profile that you get with the lambics that are naturally, spontaneously fermenting when they leave these giant vats just open and exposed to the air as they collect, again, collect the yeast. It sounds weird to say, and it sounds, you know, not very hygienic, I guess. I don't know. But brewers are starting to do that in the U.S. as well. And it's a legitimate technique.
It's a trend that's really catching on here.
Exactly.
Because, you know, some of the U.S. brewers have started to have some of these amazing beers. And they're like, you know what? I mean, we can't call it a lambic, but we'll try our hand at whatever this is. I guess they're calling it spontaneously fermented.
Yeah, that's like the U.S. version.
Yeah. So
similar technique, though.
Instead of calling it bourbon, they're calling it Kentucky whiskey or something like that. You know, it's their alternate name, but it's their attempt at that style. All right, so we're talking about this awesome beer we're having, Matt, and let's move into the ways that people out there can get a deal on craft beer. How can they save money while drinking really good stuff?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, I think it's worth mentioning that it's kind of funny because we talk about how we pour beer, and we want to not be poor in the future. But now we're talking about how to like be cheap with our beer now, which seems kind of counter poor, not poor.
But we'll also talk about how cheap is too cheap.
Yeah, yeah. And in general, just because you like something and you're willing to pay money on it doesn't mean you need to always pay top dollar for something. I'm still looking for a deal.
Yes, right? Exactly. There's ways to save and still drink really good beers. And there's also a time to splurge. And so we'll talk about that too.
Well, yeah, Joel. So the first way we're going to talk about to save money on craft beer is to brew your own. And have you done that? Brewed your own before?
Never tried my hand at it.
So I have once, and I don't have much experience with it, but I mean, years ago, again, when I was living the bachelor life up in North Carolina, a friend of ours brought over his homebrew equipment, and I think he actually gifted it to us, and so we didn't have to pay for any of that stuff, and we just bought the ingredients, and we made a Russian Imperial Stout right off the bat.
Nice.
I will be honest with you. I think at the time, I didn't know what a Russian Imperial Stout was. Back then, I was sort of, I was a noob when it came to craft beer.
So you were like, tastes just like beer.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it tastes like the dirt. Tastes like earth. But yeah, and so that was our first foray into it. And we only did it one time because I think I was lazy back then. But it was, for us, a very affordable way to make beer. Because we did the math even back then. And we were able to keep it under $1 per beer.
Brewing beer on a regular basis, you could probably get it to 50 cents a beer. something like that. I would imagine if you're reusing things and shopping your ingredients well, figuring things out, I think you could probably, we're not homebrewing experts, but you could probably get it to around 50 cents a beer. And that's super cheap. And then you also get to make a variety of styles. You get to kind of learn the process. That's really cool. It's just out of reach for at least me right now. It's not something I'm terribly interested in. And partly my opinion is there are so many good beers that other people are making.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why am I going to say, and I'm so picky at this point mm-hmm. about how my beer tastes.
We've refined our taste too much
yeah.
in order to start from scratch and maybe brew our own beer.
I'm going
to
hate my life for like a full year while I try to brew just a halfway decent beer.
It's worth mentioning too. I mean, brewing beer, like any hobby, can really get away from you if you let it. And what I mean by that is if you get really into it and get really nerdy into it, you're going to want to spend more and more money on it. So you need to know yourself and know what your tendencies are as far as things like that. Because you might want to, I mean, you can drop, you know, a couple thousand on a homebrew equipment, in which case it does not make it a more affordable way to brew beer. But if you enjoy it, hey, that's man, more power to you. You can make awesome beer, have all the gear to go with it. But that's not what we're talking about really today.
You can get into biking to save money and then start getting crazy and start spending money on all the gears and the fancy bikes. And
nice
turns out you don't really save all that much money after all.
Get you a scooter with pedals built in and then you get a ticket and then before you know it, you're in court.
That dirtbag, Carl. Oh, not cool, man. So consider brewing your own. If you're interested, if it like excites you and you're really thinking about it more from, you know, how can I consume decent beer at a cheaper price? Brew your own. Think about it.
Yeah. You can get a homebrew kit. I mean, a basic homebrew kit for $50.
Yeah.
$50 to $100. You can get set up real well. And from there, basically the more beer you brew, the less expensive it's going to be per bottle as you continue to do it.
Way to save number two, drink at home.
This honestly is, I think, one of the most overlooked ways to save money when it comes to craft beer, man, because I mean, this is something we do all the time. Obviously, we're doing it right now. But I think a lot of people associate having beers with going out. They're like, oh, man, let's go out and get some beers. When how about we just stay in and get some really good beers? You can spend the same amount of money.
Well, you can spend way less money drinking beers in. So you can, you know, we do this from time to time. I do this with you, with other friends, whatever. Split a bottle of beer with my wife. And we drink really good beers. That if we were to go out for just decent beers, we would have paid more after tip and everything else that goes top of going out to a place and ordering beers.
You're sitting
beers.
There and you're like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and order some fries because I can't control myself.
Yeah. So there's all these things that are going to tempt you to spend more if you go out for beers. Mm-hmm. But if you stay in and split a couple IPAs or split a super sweet Oud Creek, whatever it is, you're going to save a lot of money. This beer right here, Matt, we're splitting this and this is enough beer to sip on for a couple hours just because it's so tasty and mm-hmm. sippable and it's $5 each.
Yeah. I mean, this out would at least, I mean, what do you think? At least twice as much.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, with tax and tip, like you're looking at maybe close to three times that for this specific beer.
Yeah. And a lot of beers are like that. A pint of an IPA is probably going to be $6 or $7, depending on where you live, maybe a little bit cheaper, who knows. But, you know, a six pack and I have one 12 ounce beer that night and that cost me probably $1.50 to $2 max if it's a really good one.
That's true. And maybe it goes without saying too, but our focus when it comes to beer, obviously we're calling it craft beer. We're all about quality over quantity. If you're just listening to us for the first time, we're not like two beer bros looking to crush some beers when we go out. We're looking to have like some nicer beers and like Joel said, you know, likely fewer beers, but sometimes not fewer. But in general, we're drinking fewer of these nicer beers than we are some light American Pilsner.
Right, where you crush three of those and forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, these beers we're really conscious about how much we're imbibing and what we're drinking. And so, yeah, I want to drink something really good when I'm at home. And most nights I'll have one 12-ounce beer. And that's, you know, it might be a really good IPA or it might be a
like
really
clockwork.
Good
every night. Time for my beer.
Almost, man. Almost. I have like a rhythm to it now.
Yeah, I know you do. You're more of a machine than I am. I feel like I forget about it. I feel like it's more kind of like on your mind where you're like, oh, it's time for a beer. Whereas
I think we could probably safely say that I'm even more of a craft beer nerd than you.
Oh, yeah. You've got, yeah, your pantry, your beer cellars, I mean, your shelves are lined.
Well, it's a shame. You can barely even call it a beer cellar, but it does exist, and there are a few sitting in there.
However, so if you do go out, though, there's ways to also save when it comes to getting a good beer, good craft beer, when you go out, right?
Yep. So happy hours and local specials, those are going to be the ways to save if you're going out for beers. So whether it's at a brewery or a bar, there's probably a $3 pint night on Tuesdays or whatever, BOGO on Thursdays. Whatever it is, man, make sure to plan your drinking nights out with friends around some of those specials that you can find.
And some restaurants also have like these combos. Have you noticed? I feel like more than one restaurant around town's been doing that.
It's like a beer and food combo?
Yeah, like a burger and beer for like $5 or something like that.
Oh, no, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to have to write that down for me. Yeah, so maybe you knock off work a little bit early because happy hour is 4 to 6 and you grab a beer then and head home after that. But if you do want to go out with friends and have beers, that's a good way to save some money and just kind of plan your drinking around saving money.
Yeah. Something else to pay attention to is how many ounces you get, because a lot more bars and restaurants are doing smaller pours because they are starting to carry some of these nicer beers, which is awesome. And I'm all about that. However, you might go into a fancier place and they might, you know, stick you with like an 8 ounce pour of a beer. And even though it might be a nicer beer, there's going to be a lot less value there than say, if you go with a local 16 ounce pour of a local, you know, great IPA that you can get your hands on. It's definitely worth paying attention to that.
Yeah. Well, so that gets us into our next point. Number 4, buy in bigger quantities. And so when I wrote this point, I was thinking mostly for home consumption, buy 6 packs and avoid bombers.
Bombers are
the 22-ounce beers that you find on a shelf, and those are usually specialty packaged. And again, we're breaking our own rule here.
Yeah, because that's a lot of what we drink on the show because there's two of us here and we're sharing.
And so it's not
an extra special night for us to sit down and record.
We're not trying to be hypocrites here, but it is something I think about in my normal day-to-day craft beer drinking.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to pop one of these bottles when you're just on a Wednesday.
It's easier to consume and it's way cheaper. So thinking in terms of like, what's a really good 6-pack I can get? Because that's going to save you some money, or 12-pack.
Yeah, or even a 12-pack, man. Or
if you're a Costco member, sometimes, especially some of the Costcos out in California, sell amazing beers by the case. If I lived in California, I would probably be exclusively drinking beer that I could buy at Costco. Where we live, the Costcos have like a couple of decent craft beer selections, but they're by no means excellent. But if you're just kind of wanting a basic IPA, Costco's a great place to go for a case of like Lagunitas or Sierra Nevada or something.
Oh, nice.
Like that.
They got Lagunitas?
Yeah.
So I don't have a Costco membership, so I don't know what they have. I know Lagunitas, man, when they came out with that Born Again yesterday, they rolled that out in 12 packs, even in Kroger.
Yeah.
You know, like your standard local grocery stores.
And
which was a really affordable, I mean, you know, because you get that volume discount when you get those extra, you double that quantity and you got a great beer for a good price.
Yeah, and fortunately, I think we're starting to see the price war kind of kick in craft beer too. So for a while there, on the come up of craft beer, we were seeing just really, really expensive beers, smaller packaging, lots more bombers. And now craft beer, there's so many craft breweries, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see the prices kind of come down and the packaging formats change a little bit. So we're seeing a lot more specialty beers in 4-packs instead of bombers.
A lot more 4-packs than 6-packs.
Yes.
And even some 6-packs and cases.
Yeah. So it's really changing the pricing, and pricing is going down and people are fighting for shelf space. And so the pricing is starting to matter more. And that means that you're going to be able to save more on your craft beer as you're buying 6-packs instead of bombers or whatever. And there's just so many good beers now out there that you can be a little pickier. Before, if you were really into craft beer, sometimes you'd have to spend that extra money on a bigger format that you might not have wanted to purchase. But there's so many good beers in 6-packs and 12-packs and cases now that you can be a little pickier and you can find really good beers that you can buy in bigger quantity. It's just going to save you money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So the next point is something that you do a good bit, which is shopping the discount shelf, or is it the sale rack, the sale shelf, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So and not every craft beer store has this, but sometimes even Kroger's have this, right? So your local grocery store might even have a discount shelf.
It may have been a 6-pack where maybe say half of them broke or something like that, and so they got these 3 random beers and they'll have them on a shelf by themselves, and they're selling them for cheap.
Yeah, so if you can snag those up, you know, they might be 75 cents or a dollar a beer. And even some of these nicer beers that we like to drink, they go on half price at my local liquor store.
Yeah.
And so every week he's tossing something new up on the shelf. I'll take a look. If it interests me, you know, I'll give it a go. Like this one was not on the discount shelf, but sometimes he puts things on there that really don't expire. Some of these beers last for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of these Belgians last forever.
A lot of the Belgians and a lot of the really good dark stouts, they just don't lose any flavor profile.
And I mean, some of them even, yeah, I mean, they get even better. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're mentioning the stouts, like some of them. So IPAs, you want to drink fresh. They're all about freshness. It's think of it like a vegetable.
So if you see an IPA on the discount shelf,
avoid it.
Avoid it, or at minimum check the date first. Because yes, if it's not been bottled within the last like 3 months, you probably don't want it.
I will say I fell victim to that. The last discount beer I purchased was a 6-pack of a double IPA, and it was one I hadn't had before, and it looked really good. And I was like, oh man, it's priced really well. I think that I'm just gonna go for it, because it had been released recently. So in my mind, I was like, oh, it's pretty fresh. But I brought that home, and it was a drain pour. You got to watch out for some of those beers, especially IPAs. You want to avoid the IPAs on the discount shelf. But it was bad, man. You could tell as soon as you taste it. So in general, bad beers kind of have like there's a variety of off-putting flavors sometimes they have. But that IPA in particular, I remember had like a metallic. It felt like I had nickels and pennies in my mouth. It was just like this metallic.
Gross.
Yeah. But basically, anytime there's just some odd flavors that you feel like shouldn't be there. And if you got your beer off the discount shelf, it's probably old.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? Like we said, old is okay in some cases, but old is not okay in the case of IPAs. It's just gross. So avoid that. But if your local brewery or bottle shop or grocery store has a discount shelf, make sure to check that out. You can find some great beers at a good discount, oftentimes looking through their discount bin.
And then you want to talk about some of the big guys, the big names?
Yeah. So if you want good beer, right? You're like, I really want a good IPA. There are a lot of great beers being made by some of the national craft brewers, and they're cheaper than you're going to find usually going local. So you and I, we tend to drink more local. We just care more about that. And you know, years ago I would drink a lot of Sierra Nevada. I love Sierra Nevada. I've got nothing against them, but you know, I really want to support and drink kind of the more local stuff. But if you just want a good IPA, Sierra Nevada's got a bunch of them, right? Mm-hmm. They're really good at making good IPAs. And so
yeah, you're a big fan of, is it Torpedo?
I like Celebration every winter.
Yeah.
They're fresh hop. It's a great one. I got a case of that at Costco for like $26. Nice. It was fantastic. Yeah, so look at some of these national craft breweries like Sierra Nevada, Lagunitas.
Yeah, Lagunitas makes some awesome. Like, man, they're hop stupid.
Yeah.
That's like a great, and a lot of times they're releasing that in sort of the bigger format as well. Some kind of, not the giant bottles, but slightly bigger. But that is an underrated, delicious IPA.
Yeah, and Lagunitas is one of those that rule against bombers. That's the only brewery it doesn't apply to, because Lagunitas has some amazing bombers that are $4.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the only ones that have $4 bombers out there, but they do.
Nobody else is doing that.
No, they managed to put out some really good beers at some really good prices. Uh-huh. So Sierra Nevada, Lagunitas, Dogfish Head, Founders, some of these bigger, more national breweries have 12, 15 packs, 24 packs that are really reasonably priced. And those guys are making some really good beers. They've been at it a long time. So if you're really just trying to stretch bang for your buck, but you want good IPAs or good whatever, they brew lots of other great kinds of beers too. Definitely check out some of those bigger players.
And those are also going to be what you find in Costco, right? Like, is Costco, are they selling any local breweries you've seen?
Yeah, they will sell some local breweries.
Oh, really? Impressive.
It depends on the location too. And just like it does with your grocery store, there's some grocery stores that really specialize in the craft beer thing, and there's some that don't care about it at all.
I guess I thought Costco, with it being more of a national thing, they've got like their standard accounts or something.
Yeah, no, they're doing the local thing. All of them are really getting into local. So
yeah, super cool.
It just depends on how hard they are. And it can vary from you know, we've got three Costcos in our vicinity, and it can vary between each one. And so some are, you know, more likely to, whoever the beer buyer is there, they're more interested in shopping local beers. So like I said, I've heard friends in California that the selection of Costco is amazing.
Really?
They can get some really killer beers. And for us here, I think there's a two or three local breweries that we can get like a case of.
Right.
But still nothing special in my mind. Nothing that I care enough about to buy. When Celebration comes out every year, I'll get a case maybe at Costco because I really like that beer and it's really cheap. So, but for the most part, it completely depends on which Costco it is, which grocery store it is. So check the one in your area.
Yeah. Along those lines too, is to know your local options when it comes to stores. So whether it be a liquor store or a package store, a store that's only selling craft beer, a lot of them are going to carry the same similar stuff, but they're going to have a variety of prices for whatever reason. And if you're looking specifically for a deal, one of those stores is going to probably be selling for a little bit more of a discount than some of the others. Well, when I was visiting my folks over the holidays, I came across this like outlet beer store. I mean, it wasn't just beer, but it had everything, but literally had outlet in the name. And I snagged some beers at some really good prices. And it's a newer place and it's opened up and it's locally owned. My mom actually knows who owns it.
Oh, nice.
Which is super cool. And just because of their volume. I mean, this place was massive. It's not like one of these cute, you know, smaller mom and pop package stores. But man, you better believe next time I go back to visit, I'm going to check by there again and see what they have in stock.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes if you get to know the person at your local beer store, ask for a discount if you buy a case. And I know like some beer stores in town will literally give you a discount. Like
just for asking?
5 or 10% for buying a case. So if you buy 4 6-packs at the same time, even of different beers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. They will give you a mixed case discount. And so sometimes you just got to ask and say, if I buy kind of in a little bit of bulk here, will you give me like a little bit of a discount?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to ask, man. We ought to let's do an episode soon on asking for a discount. Because I feel like you're really good. Yeah. You're really good at this. You're always asking for the nice guy discount, whatever you want to call it. Just because, you know, like you're friendly and you know, it never hurts to ask.
We'll definitely do an episode on that because that's something I'm super into and I think people don't take enough advantage of.
So we'll do that in the near future.
All right, Matt, ways to save money on beer that aren't worth it.
So drinking swill, you're not for that, right?
No, man. So if you're just, there was a time I used to sometimes drink craft beer and sometimes drink Miller High Life. And those days are past.
Are they really?
They're past.
You're really not willing to ever drink domestic lager.
No, there's just a couple times I'm actually willing to do it. And it's at like shows. If we're going to see a band at our local venue, High Life's like $2. And I'm willing to do it when I'm watching a band play or after mowing the lawn, something like that. Yeah. But it's pretty rare and I don't keep it on hand.
Yeah, it's not often that you're out there cutting the grass.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't need a beer necessarily after I do it. But if someone were to hand me one, I would drink it. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that I'm not willing to do for the most part anymore. And I'm just not going to waste my time and my life drinking crap beer.
Yeah. Even the past few times that we've gone to the beach, we're not pulling up with our little soft-sided cooler full of Miller High Lifes or PBR. We've got some nicer beers, man.
We're finding those perfect beach beers.
Yeah, some of those sours, some of those easier, lighter drinking IPAs.
Yep. Anything usually below 5%. Because we got kids that were watching. Yeah. So low ABV, well, and it's really hot. Tasty stuff.
We want to actually stay hydrated. And a lot of those lower ABV beers are going to be more refreshing when it comes to, you know, hanging out on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So drinking crap beer? No way. Drink craft beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Not craft. Crap.
Yeah. So another way to save money on beer that isn't worth it to me? Drinking like some of that store brand beer.
Yeah.
You know,
how many of those have you tried before? You're talking like the Trader Joe's stuff?
Well, Trader Joe's, yeah, I've tried
some of their stuff. It's pretty bad.
It's not very, every Christmas though, they come out with one that is brewed by this Belgian brewery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They do a collaboration or like a co-op or something with it.
That beer is always excellent. But most of their stuff that you find on their shelves throughout the year, their IPA, whatever it's called,
One of them's
Simpler Times Lager or something.
They're like trying to tap into that nostalgia, being like, back before beers were complicated, simpler times.
Oh,
everything tastes like piss.
Exactly. Exactly. And that beer definitely is that. Sorry, Trader Joe's. I love you.
Yeah. I love Trader Joe's and I love Aldi. But man, I am not going to drink Aldi beer. I think one time I was just like, man, you never know. Let me grab one of these and see how it goes.
I was talking with a buddy yesterday who likes beer, but he's like, oh man, have you tried anything at Aldi? I don't know. I'm kind of, I think he's tried a couple and he was kind of,
like convincing himself that it's okay.
He was trying to say, yeah, it's okay. And but I can tell deep down he wasn't satisfied.
Yeah.
And he actually specifically requested. He said, will you record a show on how to find good beer at a reasonable price? And I said, yes, sir, we will. Because the Aldi beer, the Kirkland Signature beer from Costco, the store branded beers are usually they're really bad.
Yeah, it's not something I'm willing to sacrifice on. You know, like I'll buy the cheap toilet paper. Oh man, even Aldi lately, they've been rolling out this awesome coffee. You had some of it the other day, right? Like that Guatemalan
Organic Honduran
Honduran.
Oh gosh, that's really good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. There's you know, maybe that's because we're not doing a podcast about fancy coffee with and trying to save money. Pour over, not poor, would be our alter egos. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's good enough, right? Like their coffee and some of their other things that they sell, but beer, mm-mm, not one of them.
Staying away from the beer. I'll buy almost anything else at Aldi, but I'm staying away from the beer. So if you're in a craft beer, I think, you know, you spend a dollar more a six pack and you get Sierra Nevada or one of those baseline national players.
Well worth it.
Yeah, you can get some really good beers for a reasonable price. So the caveat about drinking these store branded beers, just be wary. Most of them aren't that great. You might find a rare gem. And if you do, please tweet at us. We'd love to know.
Oh, yeah.
But most of them aren't that great. If you want to save money on beer, we came up with all these other ways for you to do it. Check those things out.
Joel, thoughts on the Lindeman's Oud Creek?
I'm a huge fan. I love this beer. Essentially, if you want to get into lambics, like a really good one at a reasonable price, it's this one. Go for this one. And I particularly love the ones with fruit. And this one has copious amounts of cherries.
Yeah, yeah. The fruited lambics are kind of where it's at. I mean, if you're looking to kind of get into the lambics, I mean, in general, the fruited ones, but specifically Creek, which is the cherry, is by far the most popular style. You're going to see way more of that in your local store. And for good reason. I think they're probably the tastiest ones out there. And a lot of people like them. And definitely worth a try.
Delicious. Tons of cherries coming through. This is a beer I could drink often and frequently. And if you want to get into one that doesn't have like kind of the artificial sweetness taste, this is perfect one to jump into at 10 or 11 bucks, probably at your local bottle shop.
It's got that nice cherry fruit, but at the same time, it drinks real dry. It almost feels somewhat tannic.
Yeah.
You know, like tea, like it's kind of got that nice, dry, clean finish where it kind of just makes you want to drink more. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm going to pick it right back up, the glass, and take another sip.
Exactly. It's not like that super juicy kind of fruit. It kind of dries out and leaves your mouth feeling nice and clean.
And super tart. Gotta love it.
All right, Joel. So let's go ahead and do a quick recap.
Yeah. So ways to get a deal on craft beer. Number one, brew your own beer. Consider brewing at home and saving money. If you are doing it just to cut costs, you could probably get your beer cost down to 50 cents a beer for good beers.
Do it on the cheap and get to hang out with your friends as well.
Yeah.
Then after that, you can drink at home. And obviously, I mean, we're not just talking about your own homebrew, but going out, buying some beers at the store and bringing them home. You don't have to necessarily be sitting on a restaurant's patio. Sit on your own patio, crack open a beer. You'll be able to drink better and even more if you're so inclined than if you were to go out to a restaurant where you're also going to be, you know, paying for service, paying for tax, paying for tip.
And you can even invite your friends and neighbors over for that. So,
yeah. Man, I want to see more patio drinking like on people's actual patios. You know, like that's the kind of neighborhood I want to live in.
Once we get out of this cold weather, we're going to be doing a lot.
I can't wait for it to warm up.
That's going
to
be our probably number one way. That's how we do it the most.
What's next?
Happy hours and local specials. So figure out what breweries and local restaurants have deals on beers, maybe between 4 to 6 or 4 to 7 or whatever it is, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights. Find out who's offering really good beer at a decent price throughout the week.
And consider, too, going directly to the brewery. A lot of breweries are going to have their beers on draft, and it's going to be really affordable, and it's going to be super fresh, straight from the source.
Next way to save money on craft beer is buy in bigger quantities. 6-packs, 12-packs, cases of good beer. You can find them now, and you're going to save a lot of money buying that way as opposed to buying single bombers of beer. That's just going to be a much cheaper way per ounce to get good beer.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to shop the discount shelf. A lot of liquor stores are going to have this. Look around for it. You might have to even ask. It might be kind of tucked away or hidden in the corner, but take a look on there. Avoid the IPAs and stick with maybe some of the darker beers like stouts or some sours, or definitely if you see a lambic on there, go ahead and grab it.
And then if you're not sure where to start, check out some of the national craft breweries like Sierra Nevada, Lagunitas, New Belgium, Founders, and those bigger brewers are essentially making big enough quantities that they can lower their costs a little bit, and you're going to be able to find better prices on 6-packs and 12-packs from some of those guys. You might be able to get your cost close to $1 a beer for some of their really good beers in 12-packs. You're going to be getting really close to that price point, and that's pretty dang good in my opinion.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. Be sure to check it out. We'll have our show notes up there for you.
And don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show. Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out.